speaking before on the way out about at one time when I lived under MGR Drive, 34th Street, how it made sense to do that. How can that possibly be? How can that make sense? And I was thinking also about at one time I lived in Syosset on top of a garage. I moved out there to drink alone. I wanted more aggravation. I didn't want to hear it. So I lived in a garage on top of a garage and drink through a bar. And Susie, landlady, right downstairs, and I decided the problem I was having was that I was drinking in quarts. So my solution was to switch to pints. A couple of weeks later, I went out to the kitchen and opened one cabinet, so all I had were empty pints. So what I figured to do was, I couldn't let her know that there was all this glass around. So I wrapped each bottle in newspaper, put it in a hefty bag, out to the garbage so she wouldn't hear the bottles clinking. That was my solution to the problem. It made sense for me to do that. That's how I thought. And they're a little bit graphic, but they're, I mean, that's really on a daily basis, that's how I lived. Total insanity. That went on and on and on for 25 years. I was delivered. I don't think that way now. I don't, it's because of the steps. And the most important part of that for me was before I started to think clear. And I realized that all this nonsense had been my fault. More importantly, that I could no longer be forced to drink. I lived with that one for a long time. That it was the army, Irish priest, it was everybody and everybody that I met, that they had power over me, drink like that. And I discovered after doing four that that was not true. When I got into the literature of the program, I got out to chapter 5, and there's a sentence there, half measures availed us nothing. Probably read that, heard that, was told that 1,000 times before it finally dawned on me that what they were saying was that if I only do it halfway, I don't wind up half sober. I wind up no sober. I wind up nowhere with no thing. I'm out. Sober. And that's one of the reasons why I had to jump into the steps, not do the big toe in the pool thing, not do the let's pick a few items off the shelf, rest behind. I'm not a fan of contemporary AA, you might imagine. I've seen too many people not come back. And invariably, when they're not coming back, the story's not good as to how that ends. I won't get to that whole riff at this point. I'll save that for next week. But the other thing that I wanted to say was that I don't invent AA. It's not for me to do that. It's been done by people a lot smarter, a lot more clever, and a lot tougher than I am. What I do is I parrot it. I like to do the research very much that the work has already been done on how to get sober. We don't need to hear from me. We only need to hear from Bill and Bob. First 100, the people who came for us who did all this work. That becomes very true or very obvious when you do tradition work. Every problem that we encounter as we try to be involved in group scenarios, group situations, has already been encountered. And they have a solution for all of it. So if I read the traditions, then I know how to be involved in running the group and getting those done. There was one thing I wanted to mention about the, last week about the fourth step that I forgot. And it's very important, and that is when you do the columns in the book, don't go across. You got to go down. So if you're starting with the list of girlfriends, which was what Frank, my sponsor, wanted me to do, as he said to me, if you're going across, when you get to the other side, it's back in the bitter morass of self-pity. Just go down. Just put all the names down. And it was before I ever got across to the next column that it dawned on me. Major revelation. I've never been involved in a relationship with anybody. How was I talking about? Now, that was very startling. Another one of those things that ego doesn't want to deal with, doesn't want to hear. The other thing I wanted to mention was why it's a moral inventory. And that was at a fine meeting, a Joe and Charlie weekend meeting I caught before the World Trade Center came down. It's more the word moral is there to force us to make a decision about what's right and what's wrong. And that's very difficult because we all know what's wrong. I'm not so sure about what's right, but I know what's wrong. And that bothers me, because I didn't want to have to make that decision. Then I know what it is I'm doing, causing that to be wrong. And I wasn't so terribly sure that I wanted to do that. But I did it, really because I had no choice. Really because I had enough of living under weight of alcoholism and the gutter that I didn't want to do this anymore. More importantly, I have thought of I know that I had exactly the right number of drinks in my life. One more, I'm dead. And right now, if I have a drink tonight, I'll be dead. One less, I never would have showed up in AA. And I think that, you know, I just said, write that right number. 2 weeks before I ever showed up in AA, I was in St. Patrick's Cathedral. I woke up in a blackout, begging for mercy. Later, I'm in a meeting. And those little items, when they happen like that, it's not me. Mark Frankie used to say to me, look at the sequence of events. It has to occur, and in the order they occur, before you wind up your first meeting, whether or not you conclude there's a God. Anyway, the only other thing I wanted to mention about the fifth step was that I think there's a place for clerics. That I am an AA sponsor on occasion. I am not a priest. Anyone else, unless you join an order. I am not a psychiatrist. I'm not an MD. I'm not a therapist. I'm just a drunk. Done some reading of some material. That's all it is. So there are a lot of areas where I am not qualified to handle. And if you, the sponsee, is even the slightest degree uncomfortable, not sure, questioning what it is you're supposed to be doing in five, and if it's something that's, you know, personal, maybe a little heavy, come with me, great Jesuits in Manhattan, who, by the way, turns out are members of the program. More than happy to see you on a Saturday afternoon. Down with a couple of, with them for a couple of hours and find out, as I did for the first time in my life, the difference between an error, a mistake, and a sin. I didn't know. That flip side of pride, it's all my fault. I'm the thing that makes the universe. You know, I can wallow in that misery, too. Really one of the essential parts, seventh step. Six was stop the behavior. That's the short form. Seventh is stop the thinking. That's the short form. And it's, for me, the most profound event that I've ever had happen in the program was in seven. I got involved. We had a child. Told me, don't do this. I didn't know what I was doing. And all of a sudden, I'm reliving everything that I did. I've got to stop. So I packed up my gear, and I went to the west side of Manhattan. I got an apartment with no phone and no TV or work. I just couldn't do this. This is really ridiculous. Now, to be in the program and still suffering through this, I mean, it's really ridiculous. So one of the things I would do, and we were talking about this on the way over in Tom's car, to get kicked in to doing it. I don't know if anybody's length of sobriety on the way or in terms of step work, but if you're having a problem getting started, go to a lot of step meetings. What I used to do was go to five. I could do five step meetings on a Saturday morning on the west side of Manhattan with two tokens. And then I would do a bunch of meetings in the afternoons, and then I would finish it off at one or two at night. By the time I got home, I couldn't keep up my nonsense. It wasn't relevant anymore. So I had the Luftbinder, and I started it. For me, that worked out. I offer it as a tip. And I was, you know, the other thing I was saying before was, you know, if you're having a hard time, just get started. Don't do the perfection thing that you have to have all 900 pages completed by Wednesday at 3 o'clock. That's another trap. Just make some columns, take a sheet of paper, just start. You'll go back to it. That'll happen. But just get over the threshold of not starting it. I think that's really important. So I'm on the west side. It's 100 feet, Central Park West. I live in this apartment. It's very quiet. I'm in the back of the building. And I got all the literature I could, and this, that, and the other thing. And I have spent a lot of time with the varieties of religious experience. Mentioned five times in the first 50 pages of the big book. So I took the hint and started reading it. Very dense. Very long-winded, it seems. Very good. Once you get into it, once I was in it, when I first got there, I was like, what happened? What is this all about? But, I spent some time, and it was terrific. And it defined for me what this idea is. I've heard it 1,000 times, but what actually are we talking about here? And they're talking about, and I would not purport to be able to explain it as well as William G. Founders, but they're talking about living different. Perceptions are different. And the one thing that happened in the middle of all this was that one day I came to know that there was, in fact, a God. I never knew that before. Not to say that there was a burning bush outside, nobody at the door with a Bible, and I was not hearing voices. I've seen elephants, but I never heard one. But, and though I didn't sense that, I knew it. A little odd to say that. So how did I? It's nothing you could see or taste or touch or feel or hear. And that was all new information. And I was never alone. When I lived in Syosset, drinking alone, I was alone. I mean, I was really alone. It was just me and the jug. And all of a sudden, I'm never alone, ever again. And I love to be alone. Love solitude. I don't isolate, but I love. So I got up to Northern Maine to go fishing alone. It's terrific. It's fabulous. I was digging a hole in some property up there. Fabulous. Never could do that before. Had to be always in motion and commotion. Always had to be some kind of drama, some kind of ridiculous silliness going on for me to fill the void of my life. And all of a sudden, it was gone. A massive and major revelation. It shifted me entirely. put me over there. I used to be over here. I don't know what that is. I don't know how to say that what over, where is over there? It is where it is. There. It's not here. It's the best I can say. But it is different. And the world is different. And I came away for the first time in my life having a glass of water, recognizing what the color green meant. There was such a thing as other things that normally would pass me by. I became much less important. I was very important to myself in my own twisted little world. All of a sudden, that was gone. Seventh step, first part of it says we have to seek the ability to go and ask to be relieved. I'm humble. And I thought that meant, or humiliation. Exactly not what it's saying. We have to become humble. And one of the major way to do that is to understand who I am and what I am not. Great article by Bill, written early 60s, talks about the coin of pride. There's sides. Pride's on one side, and guilt's on the other. Pride's about me destroying you and everybody else, and guilt's about me destroying me. Same coin. Run with that through life, run with that through the steps, and we're nowhere. You can't hear what's being said. That filled up with that much nonsense. Gone. What was I going to do? It really was gone. I mean, it was an amazing event. Anyway, to take the step, all you have to do is say the seven-step prayer. A lot more to it. It's huge in terms of the effect that it had on me. There was no moment that I've had in step work or AA that was quite... A lot of places, they say 6 and 7 are the forgotten steps. I don't know if that's true. I hope it's not. I hope that you can have the same thing, that you can have the same experience. It was absolutely fascinating, and it was a date that my life has changed irrevocably. I can't say to you that I'll never have a drink again, but I know that I'm different as a result of what happened, and I have to take it with that. That result of all that work coming into play at once. So, all right, so now we go to 8. And 8 was, this is unbelievable. First of all, make the amends. Oh, I brought some more sheets. When I did it last week, the sheet I gave you was blank. This sheet has names and check marks on it. I'm going to leave these behind. Take a look at it. Because the list that we're supposed to make is the top. The list has already been made. When you did 4, they go through this whole ridiculous exercise of it. Wallowing and making the list. Enough. Go back to 4. It's right there. But more importantly and much more difficult is becoming willing to make the amends. And I was not willing. Very much. You know what you're saying? Have a nice afternoon. There were, incidents of things that went on in Vietnam and Southeast Asia that we're not going to talk about, we're not going to discuss, and we're not going to get over. And then it was explained to me by Frankie and some other very smart guys. Stop jerking around. The ultimate in self. Doing. And you're using all of that. They're right. They're absolutely right. Got to go. Whatever it is, it's got to go. You got to clean out the corners. Phrase I've heard many times. And there is in the 12 and 12, bottom page 79, very deep, often quite forgotten, damaging emotional conflicts persist below the level of consciousness. Time of their occurrence, they altered our personalities. They gave our personalities violent twists. Alter our lives for the worse. Long hallway, and there were a lot of closed, locked doors. I died. It was like a scene from the Matrix. I didn't want to go down that hallway. Very fine. I used to argue with my first sponsor. He self-appointed himself to be my sponsor. Don't even think about it. I'm your sponsor. That's it. You don't know what it means. You don't have to. Just sit there. I said, okay, my name. And I didn't want to go down that hallway. And, we did. And those things gave me a lot of that release, shoved me to the other side. I think a lot of the unwillingness work, that I didn't want to make the commitment. I didn't want to tell the bartenders I was fine. They might say to me, if I turned to an AA, that was still a possibility for a while, and I wasn't so sure I wanted to go to the other side of the river Rubicon. Not if I wanted to cross the river. And I think that's one of the underlying problems with 9. If you do 9, you've made the commitment to yourself. You wouldn't really want to make that commitment a lot of times. I really want to go and apologize to those people. Not sure I wanted to do that. And I was very sure I wasn't going to do it. Then I was told stop. And so I stopped. And I went to see Bob Katz, who ran Intercounty Mortgage. And I had the checks, and the checks never got deposited. I had the 10 grand, and it never got turned over there and explained to him. So I went in, Bob. And I went through the whole litany of sorry, and I'm sorry, and I'm sorry. Listened for about 10 minutes, and he said. And it was another one of those ninth step occasions where I, the master of what's all that's wrong in the universe, know, has been keeping the universe dysfunctional all these many years through my overblown ego and my nonsense. What's really great about that story is that in 2006, that was probably 2006, I'm at home, my daughter's in the got custody of in writing, on the computer, and I'm checking the checking account. And I would have, at that time, we actually made money in those days, so I have like $1,000 as like a running balance. So I punch up the account, and it's $1,552,638.42. Almost fell off the chair. That's my money. Where'd that come from? That was parts of my brain that had never before in my entire life been stimulated like that. I was twitching and blinking. That was great. But I knew it wasn't my money. And there was never a second when I hesitated reaching for the phone to call the bank immediately at 9 o'clock at night and say that's not. Next morning was a whole process and me telling them and them telling me, no, we cannot wire it out of your money, out of your account, because it was wired incorrectly. And reverse a deposit into your account. So they're telling, I'm having an argument with them, and I'm trying to tell them, the money back, please. And finally I found her, and she was in, something in Wisconsin, and she had, a law firm had given it my invoice to a client to pay, who gave it to somebody else, and instead of paying this one, they paid me that amount, and she was hysterical. And I said, look, lady, don't worry about it. I just started back in an hour. And there was never a moment when that was an issue, that was the way it was going to turn out. Never, like I was going to spend the money, you know, the routine, I'll just spend $50. So I'm going to have the big check next week, and I'll put it right back in. Never happened. As I did the first go-around. That's the difference for me. Those are the things I used to do. I don't do them anymore, and it's all because of the step work. All because of the step work. And it is fantastic that it happens. Two other things I wanted to say. I know, you know, I'm not a contemporary AA fan. Very much a fan of the program, the steps, the traditions. Coin. Anniversary coin. Frankel. Recover from alcoholism by doing the steps. Traditions and service by doing. Originally, the reason we had anniversary was that in 90 days, you learn the program. You have 30 days to do the steps. Traditions, 30 days for recovery. We don't do that anymore. In the early 90s, there was a whole ruckus about the trademark. They decided, let it go. So when we buy those coins, it's not really, you know, it's not AA material anymore. That's fine. But what's not fine is me going off to the Northeast Regionals. And there's, I don't know, 1,000 people. We're all sitting there. It comes out that the copyright to the big book is lost. No one ever checked. Gone. Back. And I get aggravated. Because what I got to do, now I should check every single big book every time I give it to a newcomer to make sure it's the right one. Why do I have to go through this? Because we couldn't look it up, can't watch what's going on. That's, you know, additions, concept type issue. A lot more on that stuff. Thanks very much.